The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Hey, are you following your intuition? Those gentle nudges? Maybe some signs that you're seeing, or people keep repeating certain things that make you think, why do I keep hearing this? Or maybe it's some subtle, you know, feelings that you have in your body. However you connect to your intuition is perfect, as we discuss in the intuition series. And you never know where your intuition might take you. As Mary Raposo shares her story of struggles with physical and emotional mental, and how one day she tuned in and listened to her intuition and it literally changed her life. So don't take my word for it. Tune in and listen and see where it takes you.
Hello, welcome back, new and true friends, to the Intuition series. And the reason why I'm bringing this forward for wellness is when we can pause and invite that trust in our intuition, in ourselves, that helps to release pressures that we place upon ourselves. And the choices and decisions that we make will flow a lot easier. So I've invited a wonderful guest here to help you flow through life, Mary Raposo. She's here to unpack what intuition is and how you can pay attention to how your intuition speaks to you. So welcome, Mary. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. And, you know, we connected through an online kind of a training, working with intuition, basically. And I saw that you were a Reiki master as well, even though this episode isn't solely about Reiki, it's about working with the intuition. So when I first saw Mary on the call and I connected with her, it was like, ooh, there's something about Mary I need to connect with. I need to know more about her. And that was following my own intuition. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that you accepted the invite to sit down and have a chat. And then I realized, hey, we're talking about intuition here, Mary. You know, let's expand this on my podcast.
I love this topic. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you invited me, because this is definitely something that just is woven through in a subtle way all through my work and through my life. So I can't wait to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they aren't able to discern when their intuition is supporting them and when they're in that mind-driven focus. Yeah, that can be very challenging to kind of tease that apart until we pause and we really realize when our intuition is guiding us. Yeah, and I think your story has a lot to do with following your intuition. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, my story, my call to service really came from my own healing journey. And it was really a time when I was kind of disconnected from my own intuition, or my inner wisdom, I would say. It was back when I was working as a mental health counselor. And I would say I was pretty close to burnout. I was working in a clinic, and I don't think that I had taken any time off in about, I'm going to say, 3 years at that point, which is a long time. I was just really overworked. I was, you know, really, really close to burnout. And what the kind of the crux of what happened was, they started to renovate my office. And I was exposed to a lot of toxicity, toxic fumes, dust, new carpeting, all kinds of stuff. This went on for like 2 months, something like that. And as I was being exposed to this, I was having these, physical issues like breathing problems and fatigue and dizziness. And then it turned into like joint pain and rashes and all kinds of things like that. But I kept going to work thinking, I really need to see my clients. My clients are having, lots of issues. I can't really, back then we weren't doing anything remotely, right? So everything was in person. And I just needed to go in because there was no one to cover for me. And I just kept going to work until I couldn't. And so I sought treatment. I went to my primary care doctor, I went to specialists, and of course, I got all kinds of treatments, right? But everything that they tried seemed to make me worse. And nobody could really figure out in any clear way what was going on with me. And so I was out of work. I was out of work for a while. And I remember distinctly, it was in October. And like you said, I'm in New York, I'm in upstate New York, and it's can be really cold and even snowy in October. And I remember just being in my little tiny studio apartment, and I had no heat because my landlord didn't turn the heat on until Thanksgiving. Like that was just his thing, right? And so this was an exceptionally cold year. And I remember just feeling so sick and not even, being able to make the call to him that, you need to like make an exception here. And I got a phone call, and I just remember that day specifically. The phone rang, and I could barely even use my voice to answer the phone. And of course, it was work saying, we're really sorry, but we really can't hold your job any longer. We're going to be replacing you. And, let us know when you're better enough that maybe you can come back and we'll see if we have something for you at that point, which meant to me, I'm done, right? So they were no longer going to, even think about me. They were going to replace me. And I was pretty devastated. I was just so sick, and I knew that there was nothing I could do to mobilize myself to, just push through and go back. So I ended up just kind of just stopping right there in my tracks and doing something different. I knew something had to change. And in that moment, I kind of had a vision of a boat trying to row upstream. And I thought, my gosh, this has really been what my life has been like for all this years, actually, right? Just years. And so I visually took my oars out of the water and I said, I'm just going to surrender to the flow of the water, right? To the flow of life. And I just stopped all of these treatments. I mean, I remember having these allergy treatments that I ended up having anaphylactic shock from it. I mean, everything I was trying was so bad. I just kind of stopped everything. And I started to look for alternatives. And I did not know what any of those might look like or if there was anything that, that was even out there. But I was drawn to this wellness fair. So again, using my intuition, kind of tapping back into my intuition, I went to this wellness fair. And I just started walking around and just kind of opening myself up to what might be here, what, might I just look into in any way. And there was a woman who had a booth offering Reiki. And I was just intuitively drawn to this. I had no idea what it was. I hadn't really heard about it. And I just went over to her booth and signed up for like a mini try it session. And she had me sit in a, a little straight back chair. And again, this was in a large, like a hotel ballroom, lots of noise, Lots of people walking around, lots of talking and things like that. And I remember just as she started to work with me, and she never touched me or anything. But as she started to work with me, I dropped into this space of just no time, no space, just this alternative kind of this really different feeling, because I had been feeling so heavy and so sick and really feeling so bad. All of a sudden, I started to feel light, and I started to feel energy. And it was very, very different. It was drastically different. And I really did not know how long I was there. I didn't know what was happening, but I just really went into this nice, beautiful space. And she said to me after, like, I don't know, it was like 5 or 10 minutes, really, it was like nothing. And she said to me afterward, wow, it just feels like your energy's been draining out. Your energy feels very depleted. And I thought, oh my gosh, you nailed it. That's exactly how I've been feeling. And, I felt like a battery that was just drained out, and that there was nothing that was able to recharge my batteries until this specific kind of experience. And so I knew there was something in that for me. And I knew I wanted to do more with it. So I just sought out receiving Reiki treatments. And that was my healing path for a while. And my Reiki master said to me, you really could learn this for yourself and do self Reiki in between your our appointments. And you, I think, would even benefit more. Because I was benefiting just from going on maybe a weekly basis. I could go every 2 weeks or every month or something like that. And so that's when I decided to go to Reiki training. And luckily, my Reiki master did do Reiki training. So I kind of went down the path of Reiki training, really listening to this little voice. The subtle way, like you were talking about, and really knowing that there was something to it, even though I didn't really know what that was all about. But it really led me on a path of healing. And interestingly enough, as I practiced and took my own wellness into my own hands, became more empowered, for myself, and continued to have Reiki sessions with her, I ended up feeling good enough that I could go back to practicing as a mental health counselor. And so I moved out of that apartment. I moved into a different clinic. And interestingly enough, soon after that, I started to face the same problems. I started to have not the same physical problems, but I started to feel drained. I started to feel not really well. It wasn't because of the physical environment, but I realized at that point that the job that I was in was really triggering a whole bunch of unhealed childhood trauma. And so I had kind of cleared some of this stuff. I healed myself physically. I was ready to, move forward in my life, but I hadn't been listening to the deeper stuff. And so the deeper stuff started to come up, which is, one of those things with Reiki for sure. It started to help me understand that I was going to keep getting sick until I changed what I was doing in life, right? So if I kept putting myself in situations that were triggering me, that were kind of draining my energy, making me feel like I couldn't take a day off, being out of balance, it wasn't really going to work for me. And so Reiki really helped me to kind of peel back the layers of the onion and just clear old trauma, clear the things that are kind of covering over when we say Reiki reveals our bright light within, kind of just clearing some of those things so that I could then see who I was authentically at the deeper level, and to make better choices for myself. And the system of Reiki really helped me to do that. Really helped me to see, like, who am I at the soul level? Who am I spiritually? And it helped me to transform my life so that I could be in touch with my intuition on a much deeper level, and to make choices for myself, paying attention to, does my body like this type of food? Do I need more fresh air? You know, do I need to work these hours? All of those kinds of things. And, you know, that's a long story in terms of like the answer to your question. But I kind of, that was just kind of my evolution into really connecting again in a deeper way with my intuition and letting it lead rather than pushing it away like I had been doing for so many years.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely love that. Thank you for sharing your experiences with us, Mary. And I have a question. So it sounds like when you shared about your story, you know, would you say that you learned to trust your intuition and trust more in yourself during this process?
Absolutely. I think that I kind of came back in touch with my intuition for sure. And then because once you start to listen intuitively and you take action on those messages or hits that you get, those little intuitive messages, once you start to take action on those things, and you see that this is something that's benefiting you in your life. Like, for example, if instead of working 10 hours a day, I might want to work 6 or 8 hours a day. And my intuition is telling me, yeah, you don't need to work those longer hours. Maybe you can figure out a way to, you know, go into a job that's going to benefit you more in terms of the time or whatever. Once you start listening to that and taking action on it, and you see how it really changes your life and it transforms you and it's beneficial to you. Yeah, you do start to get that much deeper trust in your intuition, and then you can rely on it more to make
Oh
your life
yeah.
better.
Oh yes. And I believe that then we don't second guess it. I think that's part of the mind when we're stuck in the mind of the doing. We got to do this to get that, which really, you know, pinches us off from the intuition. And then we start second guessing the choices that we made or what we did.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. That's how I've experienced it as well. You really have a deeper connection. And then it's not really transactional. Like we think of things as like, you know, you do this to get that. It doesn't work that way with spirituality. It's just that your intuition is always there. It's that subtle kind of, you know, voice in your head or knowingness that is more like a suggestion rather than, you know, like a big booming voice telling you that you have to do something or that, you know, if you do this, you're going to benefit or get that from it. You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
intuition, I think, is really, it is one of the misconceptions that people have about intuition. They think that maybe it's this, you know, booming voice or this command. That is going to knock you over the head, and you really, it's going to be very clear. But I think you have to be somewhat more balanced within yourself or willing at least to look inside to be quiet enough to listen, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. That's how we can hear it. And I love how you brought up it's not transactional. So the series that I just finished is talking about from transactional to transformational relationships. And then after I was done with that series, it was like, well, it's all about intuition. This is how we get into those transformational relationships with ourselves, first and foremost, as you're perfectly sharing about, right, with your experience, Mary, and
Wow.
how that ripples out to everyone that we, you know, encounter and how we actually
see the world. So how did your intuition like dovetail with your profession, not just a becoming a Reiki master, but how you've built your business? Because I think that's really key, listening to that intuition, because other people are entrepreneurs probably that are listening, or private business owners, and just thinking outside the box, I think that's what it is with intuition. Can you share that a little bit about how you discovered that or what nudged you to go that route?
Yeah, for sure. As I was practicing, of course, I was just, one individual practicing alone, doing some Reiki sessions and teaching some classes and things like that. But I noticed as I started working with people, and of course, I'm teaching them all the way through from, level one all the way through master level Reiki training, that, they loved what it did for them. They loved experiencing Reiki. And they, everyone that I have as my students, my clients, they're all just loving giving people, wanting to help others and share with others. And so many really wanted to have more of an avenue to do that. And really, I started to understand that Reiki training doesn't really give you anything beyond the practices in terms of going to the next step, sharing Reiki with others. How would you do it? What is the structure around that? And of course, at the time that we're talking today, there's no regulation really around Reiki. So one of the things that's really, really been meaningful for me is to be able to support Reiki practitioners in starting off and being able to share Reiki with others in a more professional way, whether it's, an actual business or whether it's just, beginning practice, like this little part-time thing, a side hustle, a hobby, but working in a more, I would say a professional way, like being able to share with others. And like you said, creating a Reiki circle with others, sharing with other, people, with other practitioners even. And when I first started, I felt like there was really nothing there. I remember being really, really disillusioned because I was so ready to move out of that stressful kind of job that I had and move into practicing Reiki professionally. And I thought, oh, how hard could it be? And I knew that there were maybe two or three Reiki practitioners in my area that were working. And I sought those people out and they didn't give me the time of day. They were just, back then, it was a little bit secretive. It was kind of like,
Siloed.
yeah, oh, siloed. That's a really perfect way to put it. I didn't get any help from anybody. And when I went to more of like a small business development kind of center, it was totally the opposite. It was like, you need to go to the bank and get a business plan and things like that. And it was totally not really what I was looking for either. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up, figuring it out myself the hard way. And what I'm really happy to do now is to really help people that were in my situation right now and help them by giving them all the benefit of my figuring it out on my own and, giving them the ins and outs of it. So I often will see people for mentoring, for coaching, and just help them learn to create a way for them to offer Reiki to others in whatever way they want to, and create a business around their authentic self. Whether that means, that they do it on weekends, or whether they do it in the evenings, or whether they do it mobily, or however they do it, helping them to understand that you don't need to create a Reiki business that's anything like a job that you've done before. You know, because people think, oh, I have to go rent a space and I have to have, you know, get an LLC and do all of these things. And does it really need to be like that? It really doesn't. So just kind of shifting that mindset of who am I? What do I like in terms of how I like to live? Do I like to get up early? Do I like to stay up late? Do I like to travel? All of those things can be incorporated into the way that you share Reiki with others. And really any business when we're talking about it. But the fact that I focus on Reiki, that's why I just keep talking about it that way. But yeah, so it's really about that. And it's like a whole different mindset and way of approaching it. And I noticed that the people that are doing it that way end up being able to sustain and do it as a lifestyle rather than opening this big business in a strip mall or something like that with an office and an LLC. And then by the second year, they can't pay the rent. And you know what I mean? Like those are maybe that's not always the way to go with it. It might be, but it might not be the way to start. You know, so I think that it's very, I find it very empowering to be able to share those things with people that I've been working with and see them thrive and really build this authentic business that's based on, you know, what's coming from them and really showing, you know, themselves within it so that they're present. Their light is radiating into it and they're helping people and they're thriving from this as well as the people that they're helping.
And it's just a beautiful, really a sanctuary of support that you've created, you know, following your own intuition, and just being of service for others. So perfect. Thank you so much for following your intuition and allowing to share your experiences too of the highs and lows, right? I think we all go through that.
We do. And I think it's the only way to go. I'm glad that, you know, I've gotten to this point because it's been a long road. I've been doing this for more than 20 years, like 25 years at this point. And I wouldn't have it any other way, though, because all of the things that I failed at, and you definitely will fail if you create any kind of a business on your own, you have failures and you learn from them, right? And it's such a good experience to be able to say, oh, that didn't work. What can I learn from that in order to pick things up and maybe, you know, put them in a different way and a different, you know, make it a puzzle piece and fit it in a different place and see how that will work.
So one question for you also. How for you, can you describe with intuition, because we're talking about subtle, you know, we might feel like a nudge or see like little signs here and there, but also intuition for me is like in my body, like I feel it in certain places where I feel kind of lit up. Would you say that happens for you too, or is it something else for you? Because I think people also connect with their intuition in different ways. So I just want to unpack that a little bit for people.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think probably it is different for everybody. You kind of learn the language as you go, as you start to trust it and things like that. But for me, it's about, I think of like my yes and my no, right? And so my yes tends to be, and I'm looking inside of my body, right? Because I tend to be somebody who is more like I have an academic background, so I can easily create like, you know, a list of, you know, pros and cons and things like that, that is very mental. That's not going to really get me there. Right? That's not going to really help me with intuition. It's going to help me with like logical thinking, which in a lot of ways is very disempowering if you don't then also check with your internal state. So for me, going to the intuitive has been really helpful. And my yes tends to be like a feeling of relaxation or warmth in my body. When I think about like maybe a decision or an option that I might choose, I might think, feel like I'm moving forward or opening up to it. Sometimes it's like immediately liking something for no idea why. You just have that feeling like, oh, this, I really feel curious, or I really feel positive toward this, or positive towards someone that you don't really have any experience with. And then sometimes it's just like a knowingness that this is it, or that you're going on the right path. And then maybe my no tends to be kind of the opposite of that. Like I notice a little bit of tension in my body in whatever place. It's not always the same place. Or maybe a kind of a pulling back, or kind of, sitting back a little bit internally, pulling away. Or maybe just a feeling of like hesitancy or wait, not sure. And it may not be for any logical reason. I might not have any thoughts about it, but just this feeling state. And it's interesting because when I get a no, kind of that no feeling, it can be no for sure or no, not right now until I have more experience or I get more information. So I always have to be careful of that sometimes I don't know which one it is. It could just be one or the other. So I kind of just wait it out, and I might check back again and see like, oh, okay, that maybe wasn't the right timing, but maybe now is the time to move into a possibility for whatever this is. But yeah, that in that feeling state.
Yeah, the feeling of it, and really giving ourselves permission, isn't it, to pause and reflect or check in. I believe because of the Western cultural norm is to, oh no, you got to keep going, you got to keep doing, you can't let other people down, you need to, obligate yourself and be dedicated and follow through, your word is your bond kind of thing. And when in the beginning, maybe it was, and things shift, then we feel that disconnect because our intuition is like, well, this isn't really yours anymore. And the mind saying, well, you made this commitment. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, so much. It totally does. And I think that's why I've kind of learned to use my intuition in kind of bring it into every aspect of my life. So whether it has to do with saying yes to something, maybe it's going somewhere or doing something, how to respond to an email request, who to collaborate with, maybe. What class to teach, all of those kinds of things within my work, and just things in your life in terms of relationships. And, I mean, everything that we do, just kind of being able to check in. Yeah, and you can end up doing it really quickly once you're tuned into it, right? You can end up just checking in with yourself kind of quickly and seeing where am I at with this right now. And if it's, wait. And you feel like, wow, I have to say yes or no, and I have to like make something happen. That's not so good, right? So sometimes you can ask for a little bit of time. You can wait, 24 hours before you answer an email, or you can, make a decision over check in with yourself and see if it's still the same the following day. And then you feel really good about it. But I even say this to my students and my clients all the time. If you said yes out of an obligation or you felt like you needed to, and then your intuition keeps saying to you, oh my gosh, I'm dreading this. I'm dreading doing whatever it is or going into it. I just don't think it's the right thing for me, but I gave my word. I still think trust your intuition and go back and say, listen, I know I said this. I know I agreed to this, but I just need to, either whether it's not the right time or whether it's not the right thing. Just explain to the, to the person. I think that people understand, I apologize, but I don't think I can do this, and just be honest about things. I think it's really important. I think people would rather have that rather than, if you ask someone to do something for you or with you and, they're doing it, but they're not in it. They're not present. They're not happy about it. They're kind of like putting the brakes on the whole way. You're going to feel it, right? I always would rather have somebody say to me, honestly, I know I said yes, but
And that sounds like what you're saying is also intuition helps us to set like healthy boundaries too.
It sure does. Yeah. And I think that's so important because, in our area, as healers and intuitives and things like that, we can have kind of porous boundaries, right? We can feel into what the other person is feeling and thinking and all of that kind of thing. We can really have difficulty, being really centered within ourselves and not, maybe not even knowing whether what we're feeling is ours or somebody else's. So I think that it really kind of being able to check in, getting it more balanced and checking in, can really bring you into that sense of self to, to the point where you can make the right decisions for yourself and for your life. And at that point, when you start doing that and you start trusting it, it's just this really beautiful feeling of safety and contentment and feeling like you're doing the right thing for yourself and for everybody around you. It feels really, really good. It's kind of just, you just feel like you're on the right path finally.
And also when challenges do come up, because it's going to happen, then having the ability to pause and check in, and if it's a wait, as you were explaining, Mary, that was perfect, then we feel more empowered too, right, with our decisions.
Yeah, and then I think that we are less likely to be apologizing to people all over the place, right? Because we are doing the right thing for ourselves and we expect that everybody else will do the same thing, right? We expect that somebody else is just going to be true to themselves. When you think about the Reiki principles or precepts, one of them is be true to your way and your being. And that's one of the things that, the system of Reiki has really helped me to really tune into my intuition and to just really live in that way. As I really feel that bright light of Reiki radiating out, I feel like I'm on the right path and I can really be true to myself and stay in my own lane, right? And not have to, like I was doing in the beginning, work for 3 years straight without taking off, right? Yeah, it's so different now.
I'm so grateful that you chose you, really.
It is about that, isn't it? Yeah.
And that your open curiosity to discover more at a wellness fair. I love it. Let me see what's happening at this wellness fair. Oh, sure, I'll take some free, good relaxation vibes here. That's what I'm all about, too. People have heard my story about Reiki. So this, it's all within us. Everything we need to know is all within us. And your intuition really helps to navigate. That's that internal compass. And this is why I'm here, right? Podcasting, co-creating with beautiful souls such as yourself, Mary, and just continuing to follow and not second guessing that intuition because it knows more than I do, than my mind does, doesn't it?
It sure does. Yeah. When we focus on our logical mind, which is typically where we go first. We're really the mind is, I think it's really outside of us. Our inner authority is more deep within. So when we kind of think about, the logic and, well, what are people going to think and all of that, we're really disempowering ourselves. So really coming into that state of connection and balance, yeah, coming into that, we are choosing ourselves, which, and that might sound to someone that doesn't really know about this, it might sound selfish, but
I'm
right?
all about being selfish. I mean,
It's about, yeah.
I want to feel good. And I'm not going to put myself in a position to where it doesn't feel good. So, yes, I just had to raise my hand. People on the podcast listening, I was raising my hand when Mary said selfish. I'm like, I'm the first one to be selfish.
Yeah, we have to be. We have to take care of ourselves in order to take care of other people too. And if you're a healer, you have to do that. I remember back to the beginning when I started to work practicing Reiki professionally, and I remember never saying no and seeing like not doing 9 sessions a day and just completely crashing at the end of that and thinking like, why isn't this great? Like I'm practicing Reiki and I want to do this. But still, I was very, out of balance. I was just, externally focused and thinking like, the more I help people, the more I'm going to feel good. And Reiki really has taught me so many lessons about, choosing yourself first and putting your own mask on, like they do on the plane, like, the warning, put your own mask on so that you have the oxygen so that you can help someone else before you place their mask on. It's kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Filling your cup first, right? So it can ripple out and support others. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary, it's been so wonderful having you here. And I love, just love your energy and your own way of offering support too for others. And yes, this podcast is about intuition, but also it's about a deeper understanding, right? Building our own wellness practice. And intuition can help us with that. And also, if you are interested in Reiki, Mary offers virtual Reiki classes. Can you tell us a little bit about that, a little bit about your business and how your intuition got you into that? Because I think it's very special.
Yeah, for sure. So I love practicing, and at this point, I'm doing everything remotely. I've had every situation you could imagine where I've worked out of my own home doing it in person. I've worked out of places that I've rented. I had a 11,000 square foot wellness center myself that we ended up closing during COVID and pivoting to everything remotely. So I, practice doing sessions. Most of them are on Zoom. Some of them are over the phone and things like that. And all of my classes are on Zoom. If anybody wants to find out a little bit more about that, you can go to infinitelightcenter.com or just maryraposo.com and you'll find me. You'll find me on social media if you just put my name in too. But yeah, really just being able to pay attention intuitively to each step of the way has really, really helped me in terms of my business.
And
And
this can
one
be
of
for anybody in their business too. It doesn't have to be about, metaphysical business or anything. It's anybody's business with their intuition, really following
Everybody's,
that.
yes, everybody's business and everybody's life in general, right? Just intuition is one of those things that, it's too bad we don't have it in school, right? Because we need to focus on intuition. and be able to just live it, right? Live in intuitively guided life, I think, in order to get the most out of our lives, you know? It's helped me so much just in, of course, in my business, but also just in my life in general. And I think that, you know, I have been doing it for a while. But those are the things that I do a lot of mentoring for my clients. And some of them are Reiki people and others are in other types of, you know, wellness oriented or healer kind of businesses or wanting to open those businesses. And really we focus on the letting intuition lead throughout everything that we do. Because it really is kind of like that subtle thing that you weave through in order to make a big, big difference. You know, when you're not really sure and you're feeling like, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for this, or maybe I'm not good enough to do this. Just tapping into your intuition really helps you to clear some of those limiting beliefs. You know, it brings you into your own empowerment. And helps you, like we've been talking about, once you trust your intuition, you don't really have those beliefs, or they're not ingrained like they maybe kind of are from the start for many of us. It really blasts through some of that stuff so that you and it doesn't serve us, right, to hold on to that anyway.
It really doesn't. And as we talked about before we got on the call here, it relieves pressure. It really, you know, because we put so much pressure on ourselves to be a certain way or to show up for other people how we think they want us to show up. And that's an illusion as well. So, yeah, following our intuition and relaxing and just being more authentic. Then again, as I said in the beginning, we don't second guess. You know, we know this is true, this is our truth, and we're showing up for ourselves, and then that ripples out and other people can receive that as well.
100%. I couldn't have said it any better. Absolutely.
Oh, Mary. So I know you mentioned about your website. Can you, for those listening on the podcast, can you give the address for your website and what types of resources you might have there for them?
Absolutely. So, my main website is infinitelightcenter.com. So it's Infinite, Infinite, light, light, center, center.com. And you'll see, if you click on Reiki there, you'll see a whole page of free things to start with. So it'll be connecting you to my blog so you can read more, to my YouTube videos, to my email, all kinds of free resources. I'm really about making Reiki accessible to people because I think it can be really, really helpful. And I don't really like how sometimes, you know, things are gated, so that you have to, you know, really, control them before people can get access to things. I think that Reiki is really one of those things that really should be accessible to as many people as possible because it's so helpful. And so just kind of trying it out. So people can come and practice with me every month for free. I do a live on Zoom Reiki circle, and it's for everyone, no matter whether you're trained in Reiki or you're thinking about becoming trained or just want to experience it, those types of things. And so if you're maybe somebody that likes to read more about it, you can read my blog. Or if you want to, you know, watch some of my videos, you can do that too on YouTube. So there's just lots and lots of resources, as well as my schedule for classes and, you know, schedule for signing up for booking sessions and things like that.
Well, thank you so much, Mary, again, for being here with us today, and sharing about your intuition and your story. It was just very empowering. I believe people will walk away knowing a little bit more and trusting in their intuition.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you. I love this conversation.
Yes. And thank you everyone for tuning in and watching. And please send a comment in. Let Mary know what you enjoyed about our discussion or any questions that you might have. And also hit like or subscribe so that way you'll be alerted with the next intuition episode that's coming up soon. So until next time, my friends, be well.